If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
What the hell?
This is supposed to play something now. Wait a sec, because I'm going to make this work. This is the newest song, okay, with Dolly and Ricky Van Shelton. Let's see if this works or not. There it is. Let's try it now, because I really like this song.
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
I think, frankly, you're out of line with that question.
What are you talking about, man?
You think Hillary Clinton would make a good president?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because she's a Democrat.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I don't think so.
I know so.
I don't think so.
I know so.
I don't think so.
I know so.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
And now,
show us your penis.
Dude, we don't do that.
Right. I know. Imagine if we did. That'd be gay, right?
Our feature presentation.
Maybe.
I wish Dick Cheney was running for president. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Dick Cheney would like to run for president, too.
Yeah, he's the best. He just has... I guess on the charisma scale, he's in the negative, really. I mean, he's the least likable person ever.
He sucks the charisma out of the room.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would vote for Jeffrey Dahmer, I think, before I vote for him.
You know, I think I would, too. Less
he's,
evil.
It's too bad.
He's dead, you guys. Jeffrey Dahmer's dead.
Oh, that's right. He got killed.
Dead a number of years. But
still.
But still, I'm not saying you still wouldn't vote for him.
I would still write him in. It's not a problem. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 16th of... Do you like cream in your coffee? Ooh.
Well done.
Huh?
Yeah.
Halfway through the month.
Yeah,
we're
selling it.
We're finally getting to it.
I like it.
Is Anna Nicole Smith still dead, Wolf?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to get that update. Make sure we still were on the same page. That was a great moment.
That's a hell of a question right there.
I know. Well, whoever that cranky guy is that comes up before Wolf on CNN was just – this is the first year, by the way, I've really seen newscasters who are just openly revolting by the stories that they have to do. And whoever he was, he just hated so much all the Anna Nicole Smith coverage they were doing on CNN that he just – the contempt is just dripping every time he had to talk about it. So I think that was his way of getting in a dig at the show after him that he knew was going to be, you know, 52 minutes of the 60 minutes was going to be on Anna that week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're talking about CNN. You're talking about people who actually want to do news.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Used to, anyway.
Anna Nicole, not really news.
Anna?
I'm watching, you know, they do a lot of reruns of the Larry King Live show over the weekends on CNN, and they were playing one last night, I think, that may have aired Friday night. And here's Larry King. He's, I know he does some lighter stuff, but he's got Harvey on, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's spending 20 minutes talking about Nicole Richie and what's going on with her and whether she's going to jail and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, this is CNN, right? This is the channel that goes around the world to talk about the news.
It used to.
Whose phone is that?
I don't know. What was that?
It's, I guess, the new phone system.
We have our new phone system, boys.
Oh, not again. Oh, dear God, no.
Yes, all day this is going to happen.
We have an entire new phone system, and I didn't realize it rings out loud. That's good.
that's what you wanted, a radio station.
They might have forgotten about one little thing.
Well, it'll be nice that we know when we have a call.
I forgot what I was even talking about now.
Nicole Richie.
CNN.
Oh, CNN. Well, there was a day when news was different from entertainment news, but it's just not anymore.
No.
I mean, it's just, no. It's all the same thing now.
There's no difference between the NBC Nightly News and Access Hollywood anymore.
And I'm becoming super obsessed with Larry King.
Because you can't believe he has a job?
Amazed he's still on.
I can't believe he has a job. He knows less every day is exactly right. He
should be your personal Lord and Savior, Kevin. He should be your hero. He's your career template.
It's almost like he has to force out every word against its will. It just wants to stay there and rest. He has to force it out. He asks stupid, stupid questions. And he's just dumb. Look at his face. He's just got a dumb face.
Where were you when John... passed.
When John passed, I was in Sussex, in my home in Sussex.
Somebody called you?
Yeah. My manager at the time called me. That was just the shock of all shocks, you know.
George, where were you?
George.
No, this is Ringo.
Ringo, where were you?
I was in the Bahamas.
I was getting to it when George. Yeah,
I was.
No, you weren't, Larry. You've got
shut up.
Name
it's my
wrong.
Turn.
I know, but you've got your name wrong. I know. On
give
national
him
television.
A break.
We can't.
Anyway,
play. It's
I
live.
Was in the Bahamas.
Give him a break. He's so old.
Ringo,
so old.
Look at Ringo
him.
Starr is now defending him, and he's the name that he got wrong.
I know.
Yes.
He felt sorry for
George
the old
Harrison.
Man.
What do you think?
Well, you don't bust your grandpa, you know, when he's a little bit forgetful. You just pat him on the head and get him some more pudding. That's what you do.
And give him his own show.
He is unbelievable, thumbs that Larry up. King.
He's I been in, he's been doing it. He's been in broadcasting for over 50 years. By the way, I used to listen to him back in the day before he had a television show. He was a very popular radio personality. And I listened to him for years and years, and he was great.
Was he good? I mean, his interviews really were
there was a time
insightful when, and researched.
There was a time
he was terrific.
Wow.
He was terrific.
The only thing I know about him is he used to be grouchy, and now he's just checked out. I mean, like 20 years ago, he checked out.
Yeah.
But his show is still, I think, the number one show on CNN, isn't it?
I think you're right there. Yeah, I think that's true.
Lunch is basically a bologna sandwich, which is, they just give you this bologna, which is like, they call it mystery meat. It's pretty scary. And two pieces of bread and some mayonnaise with some orange juice.
That's a good clip, Mike. Thanks.
Hard hitting.
Paris Hilton from Larry King.
Just Paris Hilton by herself with no Larry.
Have you ever been addicted to drugs?
No.
Taken drugs?
No.
Never taken drugs?
Mm-mm.
That's good for him. He's fine with that.
Maybe okay. He should have said smoked.
Oh, I get it. but here's exactly what you're talking about. Any other reporter interviewing Paris would have then followed it up with, what about all the pictures all over the internet of you
right.
with guys laying down in front of you with cocaine all over their chest? The pictures of you like smoking out at Coachella. What about those? What do you mm-hmm. call that?
Mm-hmm.
But Larry, of course, has never heard of any of that stuff. So he just has to say, well, I asked and she said no. And then he has to move on to something else.
Yeah, he's fine with that. That's the thing that I love about him is that in the face of, you know, direct evidence to the contrary, he's fine. He's good.
He doesn't
that's
have right. direct
she
evidence
no.
to the contrary. He can't even get online.
Yes,
I
Psycho Mike.
You want to know the best part about this phone ringing in what? Studio is that there's nothing to even pick up. It's just ringing. It's not even like there's
no
line
yeah. ringing.
Yeah. It's
just, so there's no call coming
it's
in?
It's just like it's just the phone like screwing with us.
It just rings every once in a while.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Just to remind us that it's there.
Here's what happened. The phone system here blows. So and literally it was built in like the 1950s.
Yeah.
So we finally got a new phone system and it sucked ass. So then they took it back out and worked out all the bugs. Now they've put it back in.
There you go. Fine. Just adjusted it.
Wait, you just turned the ring down?
Yeah, just turn the ringer down.
Oh, okay. So low tech.
How's that? How
was that not taken care of?
How was that not? Lightning came in and pushed like one button for 1 second.
Yeah, right here. Volume, and then there's your plus and minus right there.
All right.
Back out.
But do we have telephone lines ringing that we could answer? I mean, when can we test that out?
That's a great question.
He can't hear you.
It's going to take us probably... I'm just going to guess. I'm going to say 4 months to work out the bugs.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
Well, the last system only lasted like a week before we had to pull it out, right?
Yeah, but they hadn't tested it.
But this is the same system. This is the new system.
Well, let's try it. Let's get somebody to call us right now.
New and upgraded system. 1-800-520-1067 just to try it and see if it works.
Britney Spears. What about her?
Britney Spears. What about her? What kind of question is that?
I don't know. Who is he asking that of?
Paris. I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Larry. This morning.
1-800-520.
I can't tell. What
1067.
What is it supposed to look like when they're ringing, Mike? You know?
The see that little teeny balls in the middle?
Yeah.
They become like big flashing
balls. Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
I'm pretty sure.
And then I push that button over there?
Yeah. Let's roll with that button.
See, there's no question that people are calling. But what I'm saying is we can't see them calling, which seems to me like that's bad news.
Well, I mean, you would say that's bad.
That sounded good. I'll give it that.
It had a good sound, didn't
good
it?
Sound
you enjoyed the dial tone? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, that's sweet. The old dial tone never sounded like this. Oh, that's nice.
Thank God we made the change. Else? If we can't wait, you know what I'm saying? If we can't wait for somebody to call, let's call somebody else.
All right, let's go.
Call Alex's cell phone or something.
Now, do I have to reach all the way over there to dial?
Sure.
Why not this here? Why not up there?
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Doesn't sound like anything.
Sound like anything at all.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like anything's going through.
Oh, wait.
Oh, there you go.
It's ringing.
Ooh. Sorry, folks. We have to test this now. Otherwise, we'll be hosed when we really need it. Like, we have people to talk to
Hello.
Just after 6 o'clock. Hey!
Hey,
we can hear people.
Hey, Lightning.
What's up, guys? Seems to be working all right.
How's it going, buddy?
Yeah.
It's good.
On this end.
I can't tell exactly what line you're on over here. Well, I know, this is all screwed up.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
Loud and clear?
No, it's noisy. It sounds like dung.
Seriously?
I'm sorry. It sounds like dung.
Yeah. Okay.
But you sound good. The caller in this case sounds real good.
We're going to have Julian turn you guys down a little bit. It sounds like you're in a train depot.
Well, I think
we are in a train depot.
Okay, well, that's
where we're calling you from, is a train depot.
Okay.
I think some of that is that Bean has some type of industrial fan blowing right on the microphone.
Yeah. But now, Kevin sounds fine, but Bean is distorted.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's not because the fan is in the room is distorting my voice, though.
No, it's just coming to me way too high.
I think your voice is naturally coming out distorted.
That's possible.
Not the phone
There's
lines
nothing
coming
we
out
can
of
do.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Light, good to talk to you, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I asked Mike before we went out. I said, Mike, it's balls hot here. I have a fan on. Please tell me this isn't too loud. He said, no, I got you cranked all the way up. It sounds fine.
I cranked up the cue speaker, but it's totally dead. Kevin will test.
I mean,
it's
we
one
can
thing
hear
to put
it.
A cue speaker in. And that's
all right, I'll turn it off. I'll turn it off and just boil. I'll do that.
All right. It's not our fault, dude.
We're good with that.
Don't make us feel bad for that.
I think you're hot.
I'm not. I'm just saying. I did ask ahead of time because I knew it made a little bit of noise. I was hoping it would not be noticeable because it is so hot.
I would like to say it's noticeable.
Okay, I'll turn it off.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
We have highlights from Kevin and Bean's Booty Cruise 3, Cruise Harder.
I think it was a success.
I would say
you?
So, yes.
Absolutely a success.
People had a great time. Yeah.
Tell you all about that just after 6 o'clock. Omar. Wow.
Now, I didn't go to the after party with y'all, and I know we'll talk about this, but I did get a number of messages from Omar on my cell phone, each one more hysterical than the last. Omar basically screaming at me on my cell phone, well, F you! F you, Bead! So I don't know what was going on then, but yeah, he was feeling good.
I'll tell you what's going on with Omar just after 6.
I want to hear. I didn't see any of those.
Oh, he's magic. He's magic.
He wasn't even going to go over to the bar originally.
What was the part, maybe tell me after 6, but did he end up drinking pee?
I'm not aware of that.
Because that was one of the things that he was screaming about on my answering machine.
That he wanted to or that he did?
That he did. I thought I heard that he did. It was kind of hard to make out, but I thought I heard that he did. So I guess we'll just have to find out after 6, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think we're talking to Jeff the Virgin, too.
We are.
Who, by the way, now that I've met, he will remain a virgin for the rest of his life. I understand what the problem is.
We tried so unbelievably hard to get that guy laid.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't happening. It was like we were trying to get him to run a cheese grater over his penis. I mean, it just...
I know.
He was so against it from the very beginning.
And there were lots of terrific women there who really were sympathetic to his cause, and I think with just the tiniest bit of effort, he could have gotten somewhere, but he was either unwilling or unable to perform.
Or both. Mm-hmm. Patton Oswalt, comedian, we have him on the show today. We have a new Ralph's Rant.
Oh, good.
It's been
ages since we've had one.
Ralph's very upset about something. We got a Ralph's Rant this morning. We have a K-Rock's Road Trip USA. Details on that at 7:15. We got a new one for you.
Okay.
And we have Breakfast with Linkin Park tickets.
How about that?
Very excited.
Breakfast with Linkin Park this Friday, and we're going to start giving you tickets this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph is next with the showbiz.
As we mentioned, K-Rock Road Trip USA stop number 7. Details at 7:15 this morning, and we start giving away tickets for you this morning. I'm so excited about this one, by the way. One of my favorite bands in one of my favorite states, so I can't wait to tell you about it. And, of course, Breakfast with Linkin Park tickets, too. Right now, 5:51, Ralph's here with the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
Is it Pablo Cruz in Alaska?
Ooh, that would be good, too, though. Maybe that'll be stop number 8. That's a good one.
That would be stop
two of his favorites.
Not
that's true. England
else's.
Dan and John Ford Coley in Wisconsin.
You're coming up with some great ideas here, man. I'm going to write these down. How was your weekend, Ralph?
It was lovely. It was.
What about Friday night? Was that something?
It was a great, great party.
Yeah, I thought we had a great group of people.
Good bunch of people.
Yep.
Everybody seemed to be having a good time. It was. It really was a good time. Although I was wondering why everyone hates me.
What?
Everyone hates you?
Here at K-Rock.
What are you talking about?
Well, I found out post facto that everyone went out for dinner Friday night before the party.
Not everyone did, one. But two, we had talked to you about it at the station. You said you were going to sleep until the show.
I heard it.
I mean,
you
until
said no.
the party.
I said no.
You're Bean now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I never said no.
Yes,
I
you
said,
did.
I got a meeting that I'm going to go take a nap at the hotel. But I woke up around 5:36 o'clock, and I was like, geez, yeah, I'm starving. I guess I'll go down to the
Dude,
gift shop and buy some pretzels.
But the way
I ate pretzels in my room while you guys were having dinner.
The way
now,
you
one of you effing people
it.
Would call on the goddamn cell phone and say, hey, we're going out for a meal. Why don't you guys go have dinner?
Okay,
have dinner
first of all, you haven't answered your cell phone since 2000.
That's
second
a lie.
Of all,
I always carry it, especially when we're on location someplace. It's always on in my pocket. And right. No one said, hey, right. We're going to have dinner. Why don't you come join us?
We don't like you.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Thank God.
Or we were all under the impression, every one of us, that you weren't interested because you planned on sleeping right up until the party. That may not be what you meant to convey to us, but that's the message that we all received.
That's madness. Never said that.
We're all wrong, I guess, then.
I texted everybody and I said, Ralph doesn't want to eat.
Yeah, just that's what it is. Yeah.
I didn't go either, buddy.
Sorry, Ralph.
Well, you weren't invited, though. We really don't like you.
You and I should have had something to eat, Kevin.
I didn't even have pretzels.
The party mix in the room there at the Hyatt was not exactly the best meal I could have before drinking 9 gallons of Jack Daniels.
You didn't go to the Yard House for a fabulous meal beforehand?
No, no. Well, if I had been invited, I would have gone. Because the Yard House is about 50 feet away from the hotel, mm-hmm. So it would have taken me, 3 minutes to get there.
Like Cabot or something.
Yeah,
so.
I would have had to get a rickshaw driver to haul my ass over there. Yeah, so F you all, by the way.
Okay.
I guess the moral of the story is go F yourself.
Right. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Big box office weekend. That freaking midget British guy with the glasses and the wand. Holy crap.
Harry Potter? Is that who you're talking about?
Whatever. People like to go to that movie. Something fierce.
What did it make?
So far, in 5 days of release, the movie has taken in $140 million.
Oh, my God.
That's not bad, right?
It is the biggest non-holiday opening weekend for a movie ever.
Unbelievable.
Pretty spectacular. It made just $77.4 million. Over the weekend.
Jeez.
So this has been opened, I guess, Wednesday, I want to say?
At midnight?
Yeah, I don't maybe know. Tuesday night,
maybe. I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it's when RoboChick went Tuesday night.
Right.
Shaolin Robot.
Yeah. It's our new intern.
Our new intern, who, by the way, was just laying rubber in the parking lot trying to get up the hill through the gate.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm walking in. I hear... Smoke's coming out of the back. It's like, who the hell is that?
She's lighting him up.
Shaolin Robot's got a heavy foot.
You're not suggesting there's an Asian girl that's not a good driver, are you?
How dare you?
Lisa's right. The hill is, you can almost roll up it.
If you get a good head of steam coming down Fairfax, you can just coast.
Yep.
Really come right through there.
Not her.
Smoke coming out, everything. Rubber being laid. Transformers, number 2 at the box office, dropped off a little bit since its opening week, but how could it not? Everyone saw it
exactly.
The first week. Made $36 million over the weekend.
Wow. Pretty healthy.
Ratatouille, starring our good friend Patton Oswalt, who we'll be talking to later today, made $17 million at number 3. Live Free or Die Hard was number 4 at the box office. I saw that.
How you like was
it?
That?
Loved that movie.
I love that,
loved
too.
Love that movie. Hey, yeah, I loved it.
You have to accept that it's absurd.
Yeah, but it
but
really
they all are, right?
It really forces you towards the end. When he's dancing on the F-14, when he's spinning around, he's sort of running on the wing of the F-14. Yeah, that's when I was like, okay, come on now.
I was in the whole way.
Come on now.
You know what you're getting.
I know, but even that
is
was...
this a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible moment? Remember when he gets blown off the train onto the helicopter or whatever that was a couple of Mission Impossibles ago?
More difficult to accept
really?
Than that. Yes,
wow.
More difficult.
Right. Like 5 of those moments, but you know what you're getting.
He spends a half an hour getting off his F-14. He rolls down a broken piece of highway and up a bridge, and he gets up and he looks, and there are still are the bad guys in the ambulance that he's been chasing. They're like driving past him around the corner. Oh, there they are. I'll go get them. It's like, wouldn't they be a little further away by now, John McClane?
How still, right was Kevin times. Smith when he said it's the second best one?
Absolutely.
And how good was Kevin Smith?
Great.
The Warlock.
He plays a cyber geek in the movie. A very entertaining film, so. Number 4 at the box office, License to Wed. Number 5 at the box office, 1408 was number 6. Evan Almighty, Knocked Up, Sicko, and Ocean's 13. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office, Lindsay Lohan. She's out of Promises Rehab Clinic.
Uh-oh.
Checked out Friday afternoon. Her PR people are saying she's transitioning to an intensive outpatient program, which includes attendance at daily AA meetings, outpatient therapy, and copious amounts of effing vodka.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what they said?
They said that?
Yeah. Have you ever had that effing vodka, by the way?
No,
it's
I haven't.
It's a brand of vodka called effing vodka.
Are you not kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, fantastic.
Effin. Effin vodka.
Try it.
And it's delicious. Check it out.
You know what I've noticed about Miss Lohan is that how unbelievably good she looks compared to how she looked when she went into rehab. I mean, this is someone you could see every drink on her face back when she was plastered all the time.
Yeah. Well, if you stopped doing copious amounts of blow and alcohol, you'd be
surprised. Yeah, but now her skin looks good. She just looks healthy and happy. Her weight is good. I mean, she really has cleaned up a lot in the last couple months.
Her
fire?
Hey.
Can't say that.
Shoot.
Can't say that.
Keep forgetting.
Apparently, a steady diet of fish is helping, too.
Whoa.
Easy.
If you believe Star Magazine.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, she's got a very serious relationship going with a DJ named... Oh, I'll get it.
I thought we turned that
ringing again.
Down.
So did I.
Samantha Ronson. DJ Samantha Ronson. They did publish those messages back and forth across MySpace between Lindsay and Samantha, where Lindsay says, "Babe, if I don't have you in my life, then I should just go die. I want to marry you and have children with you. I love you." Signed, Lindsay Ronson.
Ralph, you sent a picture, but it wasn't. It was with Lindsay the dude, and I don't know why.
Oh, no, my
that
friend.
Was
what
not
was the mistake?
Her,
that was no
right?
dude. That was Samantha Ronson, DJ Sammy D. R.
I thought it was a guy at first, too.
No, the picture that you sent.
Yeah, the one I
Lindsay
Lohan. Sent you to dissuade you from having any lesbian fantasies about this story.
And not just a dude, but an ugly, ugly dude.
Yes. Yeah.
At least she's got that cigarette banging out of the corner of her mouth with a trucker hat on.
She looked like K-Fed. She really did.
I'm Lindsay's boyfriend. Yeah.
But why would you want to dissuade us from thinking that she's not like that?
Because I think everyone needs a reality check.
I'd rather have hot lesbian fantasies about Lindsay and some mystery girl that I can imagine to be hot, not the troll that you sent us.
I would like to believe that my coworkers would like to have me join them at dinner. But apparently everyone needs to have a reality check from time to time.
You photoshopped that, though. I mean, that clearly was not a real person.
It's true. Meanwhile, Samantha is suing PerezHilton.com and CelebrityBabylon.com because those gossip websites have claimed that the cocaine, which was found in Lindsay's SUV after she plowed into that tree,
right. mm-hmm.
was actually furnished by Samantha.
Oh.
She wants $20 million in libel damages.
Good Buy luck. A lot of blow with that.
Yes, you can.
You know?
I'll introduce her to my guy. What? And Ryan Seacrest has announced he wants to start a family.
That's funny. Seriously, though.
Oh, that's good. I'll get it.
Hang on.
The American Idol host tells In Touch magazine he looks forward to more than 5 but less than 10 children.
He's a total gaylord.
He's got like 27 jobs. How does he plan to raise children?
His husband will raise them at home.
Good point.
Speaking of children, congratulations to Allie Landry.
Oh! Ooh.
Former Miss USA and Doritos spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
She had her first baby girl last Wednesday,
yes.
named Estella.
Estella's a little too normal for a celeb.
She, of course, was married for 4 seconds to Mario Lopez, until yeah. she found out that he cheated on her at his bachelor party in Acapulco. Now she's married to a Mexican film director named Alejandro Monteverde. Apparently the two met at Bible study class.
Wow, she did a 180, didn't she?
Really? Talk about the pendulum swinging from Mario Lopez to Bible study
yeah.
class.
How about that?
That's where you got to find those kind of hot chicks, I guess. Go to Bible study class.
Yeah.
I'm going to reestablish my relationship with Jesus.
By the way, 4 seconds to Mario Lopez is playing England Invasion.
Oh, I love them.
They're a good band.
Very good. And congratulations to two of the nicest goddamn people in Hollywood, Rebecca Romijn and Jerry O'Connell, tied the knot Saturday at their Southern California ranch. 100 family members were there in 100-degree heat. That's good times. Being in a tuxedo, standing in front of 100 people in 100 degrees.
Nothing better.
Ouch.
Yeah. Apparently, she tells People magazine that the celebration was perfect and she couldn't be happier. And I've had the occasion to meet those kids a couple times, and they are just sweet as pie, both of them. And I wish them the best.
I don't think anyone's good enough for Rebecca.
Yeah,
though. I
thought
be
that
honest.
Too until you meet Jerry, and then he's just the
he's pretty cool.
Greatest guy in the world, and he's all good looking and cut up and everything. And it's like, remember when you were fat in that Stand By Me movie? I liked it better then. Or you're all handsome and in shape now. Today's celebrity birthdays. Stuart Copeland, drummer for The Police, turns 55 years old today. Michael Flatley, yeah. you remember him?
No.
Wow.
The River Dancer.
Yes.
Lord of the Dance.
He's a total gaylord.
Yeah, sure he is, but he's also 49 years old today. Phoebe Cates, who many of us have fond memories of from her performance in last Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Oh, there she is now. Happy birthday, Phoebe. She's 44 years old today.
New phone system, people. Sorry.
Speaking of Stand By Me, Corey Feldman. is 36 years old today. How did he survive to be 36?
That is a great question.
Ed Kowalczyk from Live is 36 years old today as well. And Will Ferrell, our good pal, turns 40 years old today. That just happened. That blow your mind? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So Breakfast with Linkin Park is what you're telling me. When do we start giving away tickets? When do we start loading that baby up?
Before 7 o'clock this morning, this hour.
Okay.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Got tickets.
It's a Kevin Bean Show Monday morning, 6:09. Friday was Booty Cruise 3, Cruise Harder, and we did. I would have to say that we lived up to the title this time.
Sure, yeah.
As Ralph mentioned a few moments ago, great group. Really,
I thought so, too.
Yeah. I don't think there was a single fatty on the boat, for instance. Not one.
What I noticed was...
There was me. Of course, me. I'm accepting myself. But other than me.
I didn't have any women come up to me and say, there's nobody here. Which has happened at almost every other party. You have those few.
Of course, yeah.
Didn't have any of that.
Yeah, it was a good group of people.
It was a really good crowd.
I believe we have Jeff the Virgin on the phone. We must speak with Jeff. Mm. Jeff?
Yes.
How was the booty cruise for you, my friend?
It was crazy. It was wild. It was
a wasted opportunity on you.
Yeah, it was a wasted opportunity. But I learned some things. I picked up a thing or two.
So you're still a virgin.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And I got an email from you saying something about how you slept in your car in the parking lot, and then you woke up the next day. What happened with that?
Yeah. So you know, obviously, I kind of became the star of the show, you know, that, like, that's what it was all about. You know, it's kind of like the theme almost. So I was like, you know, just going with it, having a good time. You know, we played that game on the boat. That was pretty funny.
Sure. That was the dildo ring toss.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to meet all you guys, which was really, really awesome. And then, like, you know, I did meet a lot of cool people on the boat. And then, you know, everyone was trying to come up to me and give me advice, but it was almost like, you know, like situation overload. It was like there was
Jeff, may I interrupt for 1 second? Kevin's question was, we heard you woke up the next morning in your car at 5 o'clock. What happened?
So, yeah. So, like, the whole night it was just going, like, I just kept drinking and having a good time partying. So, I just, like, about 12 beers in, I just, like, didn't know what was going on. I, like, you guys didn't want me to drive home. I didn't want to drive home. I've had friends that have had DUI problems. So I was like, you know what, if I crash my car, I'll be safe. And then, you know, I, like, just passed out.
Crash
and
in your car, right. We went to the Mai Tai afterwards for the after party. And at one point, Jeff was sitting there with his mouth wide open asleep. He was, like, completely passed out.
Yeah.
Jeff, there was a bit of a rumor going around on the boat that you were maybe a little bit older than you led us to believe initially. How old are you really?
No, I'm 24 years old.
You're the worst.
Really,
you're the worst looking 24 year old I've ever seen. I like you and all, but everybody kept coming up and going 24. Yeah,
30 if he's a day.
But it's weird because it's not like you've been, you know, really working it hard all these. It's not like it's been nonstop sex, drugs, and rock and roll for you. You know, what has aged you so badly?
I don't know. I'm like
squinting,
you know,
in front of a computer screen his whole life.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
More just like what I was for you guys on the boat was like kind of what I've been like, you know, in high school and then even in college. Like, I went to UCSB, which is a party school, right? And
right.
So, like, I should have got laid like my first day there, but like, what, for whatever reason, like, it's just the cycle continued. So,
well,
I don't know.
It's no longer for whatever reason. Now, at least we know what the reason is because we've met you and we've seen your game. Now, listen, there were there were some really hot young girls there who were drinking and having a great time and partying and making out. We couldn't get you to even talk to them, Jeff. Every time we tried to steer you to talk to somebody, you wanted to go back out to the corner and just stand by yourself.
I don't know. It's just like I said, since it's built up this for this long, it's just like...
I don't want to take my life if I have to listen to Jeff talk any longer. Jeff is a nice, nice guy. We had a lot of good conversation. But not a good storyteller. Not that good at telling stories. Jeff, just answer this question. Because the night started off with a girl on board saying if there's really a virgin on this ship, he can touch my boobs. So we said...
Excellent.
Fantastic. We went and got Jeff. We brought him over to her.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do it.
Why not, Jeff?
So I grabbed his hand. I said, you're sure it's okay? The girl said, yep, it's absolutely fine. I grabbed his hand and put it on her boob. forced it, pretty much.
Jeff, mm-hmm. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. It just was like such the spur of the moment. It was like overwhelming.
Well,
like
everything was
like,
overwhelming
okay,
to Jeff.
Like, here's the deal. Like, since I've built it up so much, all of a sudden it's like, you know, here's the keys to the Camaro, you know, and then it's like, what the hell? Like, there's these giant boobs right in my face. I'm like, all right, are you sure? Is this a joke? Are you guys going to do something to me? You know, whatever.
Oh,
so,
I see. You thought it was going to be a joke, and then you were going to reach up, and then we were going to tackle you to the floor.
Then, or like, she'd be like, she'd slap me away or something.
I got you. Just to mock the virgin.
Well,
all right.
I was a little bit jealous because I met that Marie who made the generous offer, Jeff, and you're a lucky man.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd go so far as to say Jeff's a lucky man.
Hey, well, for that one instant, he
by
was.
The way.
Anyway.
All right.
Well, listen, Jeff, you're a terrific sport for coming on. I know that you were worried about it. We enjoy it. Don't misunderstand. You're a terrible storyteller, and you look 50, but we do like you. We're glad we met you. We're glad you came to the party. We enjoyed meeting you. We'd like you to, you know, keep in touch like in a year. Give us a call back and let us know how you're doing, okay?
All right. That sounds great.
All right.
Okay. All right, Jeff, man. Thank you so much. See you later, dude. Now, the opposite of Jeff on the boat last Friday night was our man Omar. Now, Omar was working. He was on the ones and twos and did a terrific job, as always, playing the music. And if you ever want to hire a DJ for any event, Omar's your guy. You can go through krock.com and get his info. But afterwards, I guess, once he was done working, then the partying began. And you took back to the Mai Tai, right, Kevin?
All right. Here's the thing. We have so much to talk about with Omar and with you, Bean.
Really?
Me? Yes. What did I do?
Oh, my God. We need to take a break and come back and tell it, though.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you that Omar was throwing blows, and
that was not throwing blows.
It got ugly really fast, and it all revolved around a story about Bean and what happened on the boat.
Really?
You don't remember that, Omar?
No. I remember that I busted. Okay.
Don't give it up. We have to take a break. We don't have time for it here, but we're going to come back in a second and tell how Bean's crazy, wild night of partying almost got Omar thrown in the clink.
Wow.
I don't even know what the story is. Now I'm interested.
Details. So Omar and I are back at the after party from the singles party this weekend. It was the Booty Cruise 3, and we went back to the Mai Tai Bar in Long Beach.
Now, Omar, you've been working up till this point, so, God, how did you catch up so fast?
That's one of my biggest problems when I drink is, like, you know, I didn't want to get all sloshed when I was mixing because, you know, I wanted to, you know, mix and, you know, have a good party.
A good job, yeah.
So, you know, after I put my gear in, you know, in my truck or whatever, I took, like, a shot of Jack. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I got started that way. This is, in the boat, like around, you know, 10 o'clock when there was only a half hour left in the party, I had a couple of drinks then, you know, so I was playing catch up, you know, but, you know, I caught up.
And then you surpassed.
Quickly. Yeah.
So here's the thing about drinking. Some people are just more fun. Some people turn angry. We've all seen Dave, the King of Mexico, go crazy.
Yes.
Omar, I don't know. He gets crazy. He's got
insane, perhaps
seriously insane, crazy eyes.
Yes,
that guy.
Yeah, don't know him anymore.
No, I've never seen that guy before.
Well,
okay, so we're at the Mai Tai bar, and we walk up to this girl, and she tells us a story about Bean, and we say, no way. Absolutely no way. And she keeps insisting on it. And so we get her phone number and all that. You know, hey, you'll never believe. I said, come over here, Omar. Talk to this. She says, this is what happened. This is what happened. This is what happened with Bean. I'll tell you what she said in a minute. But she believed it. And then another guy came walking up. And he was clearly just trying to back her play because he was trying to hit on her.
Right.
Yeah. He didn't see anything.
Okay.
She did, she says, but he didn't, clearly. Omar, for some reason, was fine. He was having a good time. He was laughing. But when he saw that guy come up and back her play, he snapped.
He was a big douche.
So Omar's now yelling at him. He's like, you're just effing saying that because you want to hit on her. You didn't see any effing thing. And now all of a sudden he's got like...
Yeah, it's like calling him out.
He totally... And he was right.
Like, he was going to... Who's going to fight him?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, 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 no.
It's no?
No, no, no. I was still having fun at this point. I was just calling him out, very bluntly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he didn't agree to the fact that he was lying, which he clearly was.
It.
He wouldn't cop to it. And that's when Omar lost it.
No. He said something to me.
I didn't hear him say anything to you.
No, he said something to me. He's like, who do you think you are or something like that? And I'm just or something like that. I'm like, I don't think I'm anybody, but if you want to go, let's go.
Right, I mean, you know? Bean, I'm telling you, it went from 0 to 100 miles an hour in 0.1 second. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I see Omar's eyes are just crazy, and he's rushing, bum-rushing the guy behind me. He's going to knock him flat out.
Omar?
Dude, don't roll your eyes.
It wasn't that crazy, dude.
Oh, my God. So I see Omar coming, and I think he's out of his mind. So I hit him in both shoulders with my hands to back him up, kind of like to say, hey, dude, get a hold of yourself here.
Snap, right. Come back to us.
Yes,
the last thing you want is K-Rock associated with some sort of a fight, some sort of a brawl breaking out at the club, right?
I wasn't thinking about that. I just thought Omar would be in prison for the rest of his life when he killed everyone there.
At what point in the story do we find out it wasn't Omar? He was back at the station working.
No.
Are we really still talking? Talking about Omar, he was really there.
He was here, and that's. By the way, that's where all those stories come from. Is behavior like this?
Yes.
You remember right. K-Fed when he went to see K-Fed at the House of Blues?
Yes.
Oh, he passes a line after which you don't recognize him. And you could be Tito Ortiz, you would run the other way because the look in his eyes, he's just about to kill somebody.
Okay, I want to hear the story.
So I snap him back, and he's still like, look, I'm not even there to him.
Right.
He's looking over my head. Around my head.
At that point, I just wanted to put, fear in the
guy.
You
want to go? Let's go. Yeah. You want to go? Come on. Let's go. I'm ready to go. And he's yelling like that. And I'm hitting him into the shoulder, backing him up. I'm like, dude, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Gigantic security guards come running in to stop everything. They're like, is everything cool here? And I was like, no. But Omar just about killed everyone there. And that would have been ugly. Now, here's the story. And we need to find out from Bean.
Okay.
This girl told us that, not that she saw it, but that she participated with it.
Right.
She and a friend of hers were smoking pot with Bean.
No.
Bean was smoking pot.
Yes.
On the boat?
Yes.
Well, she doesn't know who Bean is.
And we said 15 different ways. Omar and I were just fascinated because I said, look, I've known him for a long time. There's no possible way. I'm telling you, it was him. I said, tall, goofy guy, bad hair. Yeah, it was him. She described you to a T. She knew who you were, and she smoked you out.
Okay. I not only did that not happen, and of course, you're not surprised it didn't happen, but I never saw anybody smoking pot on the boat
at all. I didn't either, actually.
I never saw anybody smoking pot on the boat. I wasn't even in the vicinity of people who were smoking pot.
You guys weren't looking, first of all.
Okay. Well maybe there was, but no, I wasn't involved in anything like that.
But she kept saying, I know who he is. I'm promising you this is what's true. And so Omar and I, that's why we were kind of incredulous. We were just like, come on, there's no possible way. I'm telling you it didn't happen.
We know him.
And then that other dude walked up and started vouching for the story like he saw it. And that's when Omar decided it was time for that guy's life to end.
You got to do what you got to do.
But Omar, what were all the messages you left on my cell phone, though, that you were screaming at me, F you, F you? What was all that about?
Dude, I think somebody else was calling you, and I just grabbed the
phone. That's what it was.
It was Alex's phone.
It was somebody else's
phone. But you were still saying it, though.
Yes, he was.
I recognize your voice. I mean, I know it was you. Why were you screaming at me?
Because I hate you. I don't know, dude. Come on.
Dude, Bean, I'm telling you, there's no recognition of any kind of Omar that we've ever seen before.
This is Drunk Mar, and we don't know him.
When he snaps, it is a completely different person. Charles Manson would run the other way.
Yeah, should have been
Drunk Mar, I think, is something to keep in mind.
He should have been hanging out in the studio. When Omar gets that look in his eyes, he is out of his freaking mind, and that's why he was telling you what tastes so good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I sure do.
I do turn I a sure little do. Gay, don't I?
You turn way gay. Yeah, there's no question about that.
I guess I missed a lot at that party because I saw the pictures from Miss Double December 2004. Christy, I guess, was at the Mai Tai for the big after party, and there were a bunch of pictures that she sent of her making out with girls and stuff like that. So apparently that was happening.
Well, and we didn't get a lot of pictures, so we'd like you to send in photos if you took them on the boat to kingofmexico@krock.com or lightning@krock.com.
Okay.
I think Lightning has some video of me humping the camera.
Yeah, I think he does,
my
too.
God. So.
He's working that, on
yeah,
that.
He's working on
That'll
that.
Probably be up a little bit later. But our camera is someplace at the bottom of the ocean, and so we need a photo or two.
Well, how did that happen?
All right, 6:33. We need to take a quick break and come back with tickets, the first tickets that we're giving away to our breakfast with Linkin Park. That's you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That
woo!
Band...
Yeah, I'm just really excited, man.
That band Incubus, we've done a breakfast with. We've done the Smashing Pumpkins,
yeah.
Jack Johnson, U2, Radiohead, a lot of bands, and we're doing Linkin Park this Friday.
Yeah, woo!
This is
another
one
breakfast, man.
All right, stand by, Wayne. We'll introduce you to Mo. This is one we've been hoping for, wishing for, couldn't wait to happen. It's finally here. Breakfast with Linkin Park Friday morning. We're going to give you a chance to win the very first pairs of tickets right now on the world famous K Rock.
That's right. We're going to play our new game. Don't forget the singing bee lyrics.
Yeah!
Don't forget the singing bee lyrics. 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 Don't forget the singing bee lyrics.
Now it's time for America's favorite new game show. Don't forget the singing bee lyrics with your host, Wayne Fatone.
Yeah, man, yeah. Oh, we're going to have a good time today, man. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. It's going to be so much fun.
Now there's two shows on TV. There's a singing bee.
That's right.
And then there's Don't Forget the Lyrics.
That's right.
And Wayne Brady hosts one of them.
That's right.
Joey Fat One hosts the other one.
That's right.
Okay.
So we took the two, and we kind of best of both of them, and we cloned them and put them together.
Okay.
And now you got me, Wayne Fatone.
And you're our host, Wayne Fatone.
That's okay. Right. I'm so excited.
Okay.
So we're looking for Linkin Park fans, obviously. We've got the lines are all full. But, Wayne, what is it they need to do? Do they need to not forget the singing bee lyrics?
Don't forget the singing bee. Lyrics.
All right, so here's what's going to happen. We're going to play you.
God damn it, I'm the host. I'll tell you what's going
to
happen.
Here's Wayne Fatone to tell you how it's going to be played.
I'm so excited. Here's what happens. We're going to play a Linkin Park song for you. Sing along with the song. And then when the music drops out, you got to continue singing the lyrics. You got to get it absolutely goddamn right, or else you lose.
Now, we have enough tickets that we don't have to do a drawing. If you get it right, you will join us for breakfast on Friday morning with Linkin Park.
Awesome.
That's amazing. I'm so excited.
So does the white half of you love Linkin Park? The black half of you can't stand them? Is that what's going on here, Wayne?
The white half of me love the way Linkin Park sing.
Right.
The black half of me love the way they spell Linkin.
All right. Fantastic.
Okay. All right.
Let's see how that works.
Wayne, let's meet our first contestant. Who's playing the game here?
Let's talk to somebody that Kevin's going to say who it is.
Rosanna in Los Angeles.
Rosanna,
good morning.
Are you excited?
Yes.
That's the loudest Rosanna I ever heard.
All right, now we're having phone trouble today. I apologize for that.
God damn, my ears are bleeding. All right, Rosanna, you ready for your song?
Yes.
All right, here you go.
Okay, listen carefully.
Finish these lyrics.
I kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart.
I tried so hard and got so far, but in the end, it doesn't even matter.
I tried so hard and got
nice.
So far.
You got it. That's right. You got it.
Hey.
Are you excited?
She just yelled. Why would you ask her if she's excited?
Because my whole job is to make everybody excited.
Oh, that's right. All right.
Hey, Roseanne, I don't know if we mentioned this or not. Not only do you join us at the Super Secret location Friday morning with breakfast with Linkin Park, we're also going to give you tickets for the Project Revolution tour. How about that?
All right, that's good.
All right, so that's Linkin Park, My Chemical Romance, Taking Back Sunday, and more July 28th at the Hyundai. Tickets are still available. Let's meet contestant number two.
That's exciting.
John in El Monte, good morning.
Morning.
Are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, here's your song. Finish these.
Yeah, words. Someone pour it in. Make it a dirt dance floor again. Say your prayers and stop it out when they bring that chorus in.
Now you go.
And then you sing.
I don't know the lyrics to that song.
Chester's part, which goes.
I totally blanked out.
Yeah.
You're quite
faded out, digging deeper, Chester.
We haven't played that yet, so I can understand why he would miss that.
You're quite the fan.
It's a brand new song. All right, David in San Fernando. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
All right.
You ready to play Don't Forget the Singing Bee lyrics?
I hope so.
All
I'll try.
Here you go. Here's yours.
All right.
Not a sense of confidence. I'm convinced that it's just too much pressure to take. I felt this way before. So insecure.
Oh, man, I barely heard a little bit of it the first day in.
Well, it's a shame that you barely heard it because
we sure play a lot of it.
That sucks. That's a very famous song.
That's a famous song. Yeah, it is. That's true.
Yeah, but you can barely hear the.
Don't barely hear. Stop with your barely.
That sucks.
That does suck because everyone else can hear it, but you can't. Thank you for the
call.
But it's still exciting. All right, let's go now to Jennifer from Santa Ana. I got a good feeling about Jennifer. I'm so excited about Jennifer. Jennifer, are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready for your song?
Oh, yes.
Wayne, I'm not sure we can handle this amount of excitement for the entire game.
You've got to be excited, man.
Okay, it's too early. Right. It's too early.
Jennifer,
dude.
Listen up. Here's your song, and you sing when the music stops.
That's not the right part.
We want to skip ahead to the next song for Jennifer's own individual song that is hers to own completely by herself.
Wait a minute, her song?
Exactly.
Okay, here's your song.
But under the pressure of walking in your shoes.
I can feel you here. I've become so tired, so much more aware. I'm becoming this.
What do you guys think? Close.
I think it's close enough. I mean, okay. We're not here to be sticklers
it's
about
it. It's not can't feel you there. It is can't feel you there more than it is can feel you here. But we're going to go ahead and give you the tickets.
Yeah, that was good. Well done. Breakfast with Linkin Park. Jennifer, are you excited?
Yes, very much.
You work in immigration? Go out there and do your job today with excitement.
Yeah, she works in immigration. All right, you hold on. We'll see you on Friday, okay?
Okay.
Don't go away. All right.
All right, let's talk to Israel, shall we?
All right. Israel.
I'm excited to talk to Israel.
Israel in Panorama City. Good morning.
Good morning, party people.
Israel, shalom.
Shalom to you.
Are you ready for your song?
Oh, I'm definitely ready.
Are you excited?
I'm nervous.
Well, get excited.
Okay, he's excited.
I'm excited.
All right,
excited.
Here's your song. Listen up.
I found bliss in ignorance. Nothing seems to go away over and over again. Just like
everything you say to me takes you one step closer to the edge, and I'm about to break. I need a little room to breathe, because I'm one step closer to the edge, and I'm about to break.
Nice.
How about that? How about that?
Yeah.
I would like to point out that these are the biggest hooks of the biggest songs that they have. We're not trying to be sneaky here.
No!
Congratulations. We're trying to be excited!
You're going to join us Friday with Breakfast with Linkin Park. Of course, if you don't win tickets, you can listen to it right here on Good Old K-Rock. Plus, we're going to hook you up with Project Revolution tickets to see the band at the Hyundai Pavilion. Is that all we have time for, Mr. Fatone?
I don't know! I'm so excited! I lost track of time. I'm so excited.
Let's do one more real quick.
Let's talk to Lauren from Rancho Cucamonga.
Hello, Lauren.
Lauren! Lauren!
I'm here.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
You're excited. You sound like you're laughing.
But you understand, no one will ever be as excited as you are, Wade. You understand that, right?
I'm excited for this game and for this breakfast. I can't believe myself.
Okay.
All right, here's your song, Lauren. Listen very carefully.
I'll never be all right, so I'm breaking the habit.
Congratulations, you
nicely
win!
Done.
Oh, Lauren, you should be very excited. You're going to see Linkin Park very personally and up close.
People can't sing for the most part, can they?
No, but they don't have to sing. They just have to not forget the spelling bee lyrics.
That's true. Thank you, Wayne Fatone. Job well done.
I'm going to go pass out now.
More tickets coming later this we got a big half hour straight ahead after the news. Why Chris Angel, the magician, the emojician, is still a douchebag. Also, we'll roll out details for stop number 7 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA. That's all happening right here on K-Rock between 7 and 7:30. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
Harry Potter and the dump truck full of cash.
Yeah, no kidding.
The latest movie that opened up this week in the Harry Potter series did pretty good for itself. So far, it's taken in over $140 million in its first 5 days of release.
I love this movie. I thought it was much darker than others.
Was it? I haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen it yet either.
Really good.
I just know at the Grove, there were people lined up back to Abercrombie and Fitch waiting to get in to see it.
Wow.
That's all I needed.
You know what's funny? You hear that figure, Ralph, and you go, wow, well, that's a lot of money. And then you realize it made even more than that around the rest of the world. You know, so that starts adding up into some real money pretty fast.
Yeah, forget that $140 million. $140 million, they'd make some real money elsewhere. Just over the weekend, it made $77.4 million, making it number one by far at the box office. Second place went to The Transformers, which made an additional $36 million. Huge hit. Ratatouille, still doing very well for itself as well, came in at number three with an additional $18 million. Live Free or Die Hard was number four at the box office. License to Wed came in at number five. Then 1408 at number six. Evan Almighty, number seven. Knocked Up, number eight. Number nine, Sicko. And number 10, Ocean's 13. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Congratulations to Rebecca Romijn and Jerry O'Connell. They've been engaged for some time, and they finally tied the knot Saturday right here in Southern California at the ranch that they own. 100 family and friends were invited to the ceremony, which took place outside, which was a lovely 100-plus degrees out.
Yeah.
Today, I'm so excited.
It was a cowboy-inspired party.
Really?
Cowboy-themed wedding.
What if you saddled her up and rode her afterwards?
Oh, refer to your mother.
No, sir.
Why would anyone plan a wedding outside in mid-July? I mean, you can pretty much bet that it's going to be hot as hell.
July, yeah, that's pretty much a given, isn't
it? Rough.
Another wedding happened over the weekend. Al Gore's youngest daughter, Sarah Gore, 28 years old. She married Los Angeles businessman Bill Lee.
Hi.
Saturday night at the Beverly Hills Hotel. She's the last of the Gore girls to get married.
Today, I'm so excited.
That's better. Al still has a 24-year-old son, Al the Third, who's still single.
He's doing good work, that Al the Third.
He likes to see how fast his Prius can go.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Kristen is the hottie, though, right, of the Gore girls,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she's the hottest one.
Yeah.
Well, Paris Hilton's clean lifestyle didn't last too long.
What are you talking about? She just got out of jail.
The New York Daily News reports that the heiress popped out of a cab at 5 a.m. Saturday morning in front of the Sunset Tower Hotel.
Awesome.
And somehow, while partying, had lost her shoes.
Yes.
She kept questioning where her shoes were. She was barefoot, didn't know where her shoes were.
You know what she did? She took a cab.
See, she has learned that much.
How about
that's
that?
True.
Yeah. I think Omar was saying the same thing Friday night.
Yeah.
Where are my shoes?
Where are my shoes?
I'll kill you if you don't give me shoes. Apparently, her representatives are saying the situation came not from partying, but from exhaustion.
Right, sure.
Was she dehydrated, too?
It doesn't mention dehydration here.
Just sleepy.
They say she was exhausted after presenting her new line of jeans to Macy executives in San Francisco. She flew back late and lost her shoes because she was exhausted at 5 a.m. in the morning.
What?
Okay.
Gisele Bündchen said she's getting ready to marry her boyfriend, Tom Brady. According to In Touch magazine, the model and Super Bowl quarterback will tie the knot in her home country of Brazil in a simple wedding attended by family, friends, and monkeys.
Really?
We got a lot of monkeys in Brazil.
Yeah. Now, is she one of the many women carrying his baby?
Uh-huh. I don't know. Is she pregnant?
Is she pregnant?
I don't know if she's pregnant. I know the other one is. I know
Bridget Moynihan is.
She's pregnant. I don't think Gisele is. I don't believe she is.
She's not going to have a little robot?
No.
No, Alex says no.
All right, Alex would know.
Alex would.
Yeah, she follows Tom Brady's penis very closely.
Yes.
And E! Entertainment Television, in its endless quest to give every celebrity in the world its own reality TV show, has just announced Snoop is getting his own reality show on the network.
That's what I'm talking about.
The show will debut later this year, featuring Snoop at home with his three kids and in his music career. And what else could they show him doing? That's about it, I guess.
You mean that's
not
legal?
Getting him in legal trouble? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Hey, one of those medical marijuana cards that Johnny Drama got last night on Entourage.
And by the way, I understood every word Snoop said on the show last night.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I get about 50-50, but last night he was crystal clear.
Well, he was playing Snoop. That's why he wasn't himself.
He plays a good
playing
Snoop,
the role
that guy.
Of Snoop.
He does.
That's true.
I can understand him better than Elvis Mitchell. Movie critic Elvis Mitchell. You see Entourage?
No, I didn't see last night.
Good stuff. Good stuff last night. By the way, E! Entertainment Television is threatening us once again with Chelsea Handler. Have you seen that?
Nope.
To do what's she going to do?
They're bringing her back for a late night talk show on E!
No kidding.
When are they going to stop shoving this broad down our throats?
Wow.
Who's never been funny. Not once.
There's no picture comes to my mind when you say her name. I don't even.
I haven't seen her either. I have not watched the show. I've heard Ralph
describe. She was on a sketch show called Girls Behaving Badly, where she was the not funny one of that cast.
Okay.
Then they gave her own show called The Chelsea Handler Show, where she did sketches and stuff.
And those were not funny.
That was painfully unfunny.
Okay.
And then they took her off the air, and I said, oh, good, they realized that she's not funny. Then she had a job hosting the very first episode of On the Lot over there on Fox.
Oh, okay.
And then they took her off
of there and replaced her with that hottie Adriana, what her name is.
Yeah.
And now the E! Is giving her a late-night talk show where she'll interview celebrities and do a monologue on E!
But that should be really bad.
So she's got something on someone.
She does.
Clearly.
I think she's on someone.
That might be.
She has something on someone. She's just on someone. Today's celebrity birthday is Stuart Copeland, drummer for The Police.
Ah.
Don't stand so close to me, Stuart. See what I did there?
Wow.
Thank you. It's Monday.
Is that a blessing or a curse, would
I'm
you
back.
Say?
Both.
That kind of brilliant.
It's a blessing for me, a curse for the listeners. He's 55 years old today. Phoebe Cates, Fast Time at Ridgemont High star. Of course, she was also in Gremlins. She had quite the career before she married Kevin Kline, decided just to be a mom and wife.
Yeah.
But she's still hot at 44 years old. Saw her recently. She's beautiful. Michael Flatley. He was the river dancer. Lord of the dance.
Yeah.
49 years old. You know how much money that dude's worth?
I know.
It's
all of it.
Sick.
All of it.
He's got hundreds of millions of dollars from that river dance.
That's stupid dancing.
Yep. Corey Feldman. You know how much money he doesn't have?
All of it.
All of it. He's 36 years old today. Ed Kowalczyk from Live is 36 as well. And Will Ferrell. He's 40 years old. He's got a lot of money, too, but he deserves it.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You guys have been to Las Vegas any time in the last, 15 years, I think. The Luxor has been there.
Yep.
Apparently, they're spending almost $300 million to tone down its Sphinx and Mummy motif and change it into kind of an upper-class, like, adult place.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they're changing it all around. They're getting some new nightclubs, new restaurants, stuff like that.
Do you think at this point they regret if they're now backing away from the Egyptian theme that maybe building in the shape of a pyramid is the type of thing they should have gone with?
How do you change that?
I don't know if they're... I don't know. That's a good question. But I do know that the douchebag emojician, Chris Angel, that's his headquarters.
Oh, of course.
He's going to start doing a permanent show there, and we thought it would be a good time to get him on the phone and talk to him about it. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm great. I just want to say what an honor it is to be on the show. I've listened to you guys since when my father was alive. We would listen together to your show before he died. And
Chris,
you guys are just an amazing, amazing duo of hilarious comedy and insightful interviewing. And it's a pleasure to be here with both of you. An honor.
Chris,
and my father
loved
your work.
Especially
when you talk about Elvis and the Andy Griffith Show.
That's not us. Hey, Chris, have you ever answered a question without bringing your dead father into it?
First of all, that's a salacious rumor and lie that you're starting about me.
No, I'm just asking you a question. Have you ever?
You know, it's funny. My father would always say, why do you always bring me up when you answer questions? And I would say, because you're dead.
I see. Okay.
Right. And is that some way to garner sympathy from the interviewer because, ooh, this poor guy, maybe he sucked so hard because his parent died?
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to magically make the phone switch hands right now from my right hand to my left hand. Are you ready?
Sorry.
But that's...
Oh, look at that. Now it's in the other hand.
Chris, we can't see you.
It's an amazing trick.
First of all, I could do that. And second of all, we can't even see that it happened.
You couldn't do it the way I did it. It disappeared in one hand and then went into the other one.
Okay.
It's incredible. Right now I'm going to make my pants reappear. Now I have pants on.
Okay.
Earlier I had no pants.
Chris, why do you suppose it is that so many people hate you?
First of all, that's a salacious rumor and lie that you're starting about me.
Right.
And people don't hate me. They love me. My fans love me. Without my fans, I would be nowhere.
Right.
The support of my family has always been there for me. My family loves me. My father, before he passed away, he loved me.
Right, with your father already.
My mother, who's 70 years old now, she loves me.
Okay.
And
good for you.
The people at the Luxor love me, and that's why they've hired me for the next 10 years to perform there.
Now, Chris, you mentioned that. The next 10 years, you're going to be doing a show with Cirque du Soleil.
That's right. We're combining our talents to come up with a show that we think will fascinate people and mind freak them.
Are you afraid that Cirque du Soleil might outpose you?
There's no way they can outpose me.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm the most tremendous illusionist poser there is. And not only that, but I will freak your mind.
What's that noise that keeps happening, Chris?
It's magic. Sound that magic makes.
It doesn't sound like magic.
My first trick of the Luxor, I'm going to make the Sphinx disappear.
Really?
That's right. I've hired a demolition crew. They're going to come in and take them about 6 weeks to break the thing down and get it out of there.
Doesn't sound like much of an illusion.
Freak you right the hell out.
You know, I sometimes wonder, Chris, if you call everything a mind freak just because it's just your basic magic trick and you figure it sounds better if you make it sound like you're freaking our mind rather than just we're watching you do another goddamn card trick.
Magic is from the past. I present magic in a way that is new, fresh, to become part of pop culture. And the tricks that you will see me perform at the Luxor, you'll never see anywhere else. I'm going to set my crotch on fire and have David Blaine put it out with his face.
Wow, really?
I'm going to make the majority of my financial holdings disappear to a Cayman Island account.
So your ex can't get to it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to levitate $100 out of your wallet and make it go into mine when you come to see the show.
Well, that's not levitation. That's just the cost of a ticket.
Hey, what happened to
magic? What happened to the magic? Why did the magic stop?
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. You don't know.
All right.
And also, I will walk on a shag carpet, and I will rub my feet across it in stocking feet until I build up enough electricity to shock you.
Well, that's
I'm working on that right now, walking on shag
magic.
Carpet.
But a five.
Why does he do that?
Chris?
Doesn't matter what the trick is, he has to make the Wookiee sounds.
Chris!
That is a deep pile shag right there. I have electricity in my finger.
Okay.
You have just been mind freaked.
You know, with the Linkin Park going on, and now we're getting ready to add something else with Road Trip Stop Number 7. We got great stuff happening this week on K-Rock.
K-Rock's Road Trip USA Stop Number 7. Little band by the name of White Stripes.
Ooh.
Yay!
Playing that fantastic concert venue, Mount Rushmore.
Wow, I've never been there.
Oh, that place goes off!
I had no idea.
They're playing at Mount Rushmore.
I actually saw a show at Mount Rushmore one time. They do this from time to time. I did. And saw the presidents of the United States of America there at Mount Rushmore.
Perfect.
It was an MTV deal, an MTV broadcast President's Day one year. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
but,
right.
But no, it's scenic and beautiful, so why not?
You qualify by getting tickets to see the White Stripes at the Forum September 19th. Those tickets are on sale now. You're going to win those tickets and qualify for the drawing that we're going to do on Friday to send somebody to see the White Stripes at Mount Rushmore. And you will also be qualified for that drawing for the 2007 Chevy HHR and free gas for a year.
Very cool.
We've been giving away a lot of trips over the years here at K-Rock. This may be the first one ever to the great state of South Dakota.
Yep, sure, I think true. That's probably pretty safe. It's probably a pretty safe bet. So keep listening for your chance to win. As a matter of fact, let's kick it off right now, shall we?
Victoria, why did we move here?
I'm on the fly!
Be careful, love. I think he's got a gun!
In the hell out of L.A. with the Beckham to see the White Stripes at Mount Rushmore.
Caller 20 now at 800-520-1067. Gets tickets to the White Stripes September 19th at the Forum. Hear your name Friday morning for K-Rock's Road Trip USA Stop 7. White Stripes at Mount Rushmore.
Please take us with you.
I'll even let you make out with me wife.
Beckham's not included. Everyone who qualifies all month long gets the chance to win a 2007 Chevy HHR with free gas for a whole year.
KROQ.
Brought to you by your SoCal Chevy dealers. Cool can be useful. Useful can be cool. The 2007 Chevy HHR. Check it out at SoCalChevy.com.
Ralph Garman has joined us in the studio. Ralph?
Yeah.
You seem a little upset.
I'm pissed off.
We haven't done this in quite some time.
I haven't been this pissed off in quite some time.
It's time for another rousing rendition of Ralph's Rants.
One man, one quest. He doesn't sleep until corruption and deceit is brought to the forefront. His crusade is to make right on all that is wrong in the world. A fighter for injustice, he will avenge us all. His name... Ralph Garman, and this is Ralph's Rants.
I didn't know you did all that.
That's cool. Do it all.
Wow, that's cool.
And I'm here to take a stand. Someone has to take a stand. Someone's got to stop.
Just the 6-foot rule with the lap dances again?
No. That one, that was a lost cause.
Yeah. Okay.
We've lost that one. But here's our chance to take a stand, people, and stop the American restaurant industry from trying to fatten us up. Like veal. I am tired of every goddamn commercial telling, trying to force feed me, telling me that every meal that I sit down at, I have to eat until an organ bursts somewhere internally.
Yeah.
I'm tired of them treating me like I'm a goose and they want to make pate. They're just, enough with telling us, stop telling America that we have to just eat until we just gonna freaking explode. That's the only way. That's the only way to eat anymore.
Are you suggesting, Ralph, that the portions that are served in restaurants are not getting smaller?
Listen to me. America is a huge, fat nation.
Yeah, we're getting fatter too, aren't we?
We're a horribly disgusting, obese nation of fat, fat, fat people.
I'm doing my part.
That's the problem. You bought into this circus, being that they keep telling us that we have to eat as much as we possibly can every time we go to a fast food restaurant. Look, I know eating fast food is a choice, and you can make healthier choices if you want to, but a lot of people are just indoctrinated by these commercials they're bombarded with on a daily basis every time they watch television, and they are taught to believe that massive amounts of food is the only way to go when you're going in for lunch. I don't know, how much do I have to spend to get as much food as I possibly can have so I can try to jam it all into my throat? I want to be so bloated that I could barely go back to work after lunch. I want to just need a big freaking nap because I'm just loaded down with all kinds of crap inside me.
But, Ralph, to play the devil's advocate here, aren't they just, A, giving the customers what they want, but,
no.
B, aren't they just trying to provide a value? I mean,
no.
If you go in and you're spending $3 for a sandwich, at least you get a lot of sandwich for your $3. Instead of walking out feeling cheated.
That's the problem. That's what this advertising campaign has done to you, is it makes you think that, oh, I'm getting a good value. I'm getting 14 pounds of food. That's good. That's a good thing. No, it's not. You're not supposed to eat that much ever in one seating, ever.
It does start to make you think that's normal.
No, it isn't. It's horrible. You shouldn't be doing it. It's killing you. Larry? It's killing you. Everywhere you go, McDonald's has their new Angus 1/3-pound burger, the third pounder. The quarter pounder wasn't enough. You notice every time you went to McDonald's and you had a quarter pounder, oh my God, I'm still starving. My hunger hasn't been quenched by the quarter pounder. I wish they made a larger burger for me. At least the new third burger comes in deluxe, bacon and cheddar and mushroom and Swiss, and they all come in at around 900 calories.
Oh my God.
Psycho Mike, how many calories should you eat a day for the average human being?
Average human being, let's say 175-pound man. You know, 1,800, 1,500, somewhere
1,800.
For a whole day?
For a whole day.
That's BS.
One burger's giving you 900 of those calories. What are you going to do the rest of the day? Nothing, because you're too fat to do anything. Shakey started it all with their bunch of lunch, all you can eat lunch. Remember that?
You can't just have lunch there.
No, you can't just go in and, like, I'm going to grab a slice and a Diet Coke. I'm gonna go, no, you have to sit down and have the bunch of lunch, which includes the Mojo fried potatoes, the fried chicken, the mashed potatoes, the tacos, the macaroni and cheese, the lasagna, the spaghetti, the pizza, and don't forget the dessert bar.
That does sound good.
No, it doesn't. It's killing you.
But, Ralph, why can't... Here, let me just ask this question. I'm sure you've thought of this. But why can't you go in and order it and then eat as much as you want and walk away, but the other guy who would like to perhaps eat more than you, he can do that as well?
Nobody needs to eat all that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not here just defending for myself. I'm not about myself. I'm trying to stop everyone from dying. It's heart disease. It's diabetes. It's obesity. It's an epidemic in this country. We have to stop this mentality that you must eat as much as you possibly can.
What if we get stuck in the middle of the winter, like up on a mountain someplace with no food?
That's what I'm wondering, is where is this mentality coming from? Is this like a holdover from the Depression when there was no food and everybody was lining up at soup kitchens? Are we still holding on to that 70-year-old concept that we might starve sometime during the day? Who's going hungry?
You just never know.
Other than Africans.
let's talk to Justin in San Dimas, 1-800-520-1067, if you want to weigh in on Ralph's rant against the big meals. Justin, you're on the Kevin and Bean Chunk Hero. What do you say?
I say I want as much value for my money as possible. If it's too much food, just don't eat it all. It's not a big deal.
No, it's not value, though.
Well, that's
though.
Very wasteful.
It's not value to get spend $7 for a heart attack. That's not a good value for you.
Well, first of all, you shouldn't be going to McDonald's and getting the Angus burger. Because
that's a good burger, dude.
Go to Subway, eat a sandwich. That's healthy, and you get more value that way.
Don't get me started with Subway. You just let me right into my closer. First of all, let me get to the Pizzone from Pizza Hut, okay?
Okay.
This is the type of commercial I'm talking about that is warping the perspective of the American public. Listen to the excitement in the voice. Listen to how they sell this to you, but try to get past that and actually listen to what they're asking you to eat.
Want a big eat for a tiny price?
That's huge.
Tackle your hunger with the Pizza Hut Pizzone. Over 1 pound of cheese and toppings for just $5.99 or two for $10.99. Get way more. Get America's favorite pizza, Pizza Hut.
Is 1 pound of cheese not enough for you? Then get two for $10.99 with your 1 pound of cheese.
Well, you don't want to wither away.
No one should ever eat 1 pound of cheese. Ever. For any reason. No one should eat 1 pound of cheese.
But what if you're not going to see cheese again for another, like, month?
Where are you that you're not going to see cheese?
I don't know. Just in case, I'm saying.
We live in California. Those talking cows tell me they make lots of cheese here.
That's true.
Well, Subway. The guy mentioned Subway. Oh, Subway's the alternative choice. They're positioning themselves as the good choice, right?
Healthy, sure.
We've all heard this commercial.
Yeah, can I get the love handles, double chin, and some blubber?
Do you want the double blubber?
Sure.
And I'll have the same thing, but instead of the blubber, can I get some fender thighs and a badonkadonk butt?
Please drive around.
When you get greasy fast food, what are you really getting? Introducing the new Subway Fresh Fit Meals with new better-for-you sides and drinks. The new Subway Fresh Fit Meals fit into the American Heart Association's approach to a healthy lifestyle. Subway, eat fresh.
Screw you, Subway.
Why?
Why?
Because they're trying to position. Oh, we're healthy. Oh, forget that fatty food. We're gonna help you. Remember Jarrett? Jarrett ate our subs, and he lost 900 pounds. Yeah. We're the choice.
Right.
Well, Subway has just announced and just unveiled their brand-new sandwich, the Super Stuffed Sub.
Super Stuffed Sub.
The Super Stuffed Sub is a loaf of bread, double-braided bread, that is longer than their foot-long sub.
Okay.
And three times as wide. They cut it in half, and they fill it with four times the meat and cheese of their average sub.
Oh, my God.
Subway decided not to be left out of the mix. They're dropping their calorie bomb on everybody. Four times the meat and cheese of their average sub.
Sometimes an average sub just isn't enough, Ralph.
I saw a guy making one of these at Subway the other day. He needed help. I'm not kidding you. Moving it down the line as he was adding the things to the sandwich. Two guys had to move the sub.
But what a value.
You can't. It's not a value.
But what a value.
A sandwich larger than your head is not a value for anyone. You shouldn't ever eat that much. Ever.
Are those available now? Are they selling this now? Or do I have to wait?
I hope Jared kept the fat pants. That's all I'm saying. Because they're killing us.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make it sound like that's a good thing. As opposed to saying, look, here's an option. If you want to be just a greasy pig, we have this. We can make this for you. Here, take it and die. They're making it sound like we're missing out if we don't sit down and eat a pound of cheese.
Let's talk to Amber in Camarillo. She may have a solution here, Ralph, to exactly the problem that you're describing. Amber, you're on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning.
Hello, Amber.
No, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Ralph, you're right on. You're right on. I mean, in the past 30 years, American fast food has gone up about 500% in fat content. The way we eat now and what you think tastes good, you've been brainwashed.
That's what I'm telling.
I know. It's so much better now.
Years and years of advertising has got everyone brainwashed into thinking what tastes good.
Wait a minute. This is bad?
Yes.
Oh, screw you, Mike.
Look, I'm not against the occasional stop off at McDonald's or Burger King and picking up a tasty burger. I know it tastes good, but do you have to eat 1,000 calories worth of a burger? Do you have to have a pound of meat? Ruby Tuesdays has a pound burger. Yeah, Burger King has their quad stacker.
What is
have
that?
You seen the quad stacker
no.
from BK? The BK quad stacker, Lisa, is four beef patties, four slices of American cheese, eight strips of bacon, and BK stacker sauce.
You're kidding me.
It's over 1,000 calories.
Oh, I'm so hungry.
And
right
here's
now.
How they sell it. This is from their website. It's a burger boasting a flame broiled stack of meaty goodness, and it's here to stay. No veggies allowed.
God
forbid we have a few vegetables. Why are they trying to kill us? I think, I think it is Soylent Green.
It's people?
Soylent Green's going to be made for people, and they got to start fattening us up to make their low food. Either they're gonna grind us up into dog food or something. Something's happening. There's something happening.
You know what kills me, Ralph, is that you go to a fast food restaurant, and a lot of them are like this, and if you want to buy a medium drink, for example, the large, which is way more, is less money.
Of course.
Why? Why are they trying to... Wendy's has just unveiled their 42-ounce soft drink. That's the equivalent of 3.5 cans of soda. Why are they trying to force feed us 3.5 cans of soda when we sit down to have a meal at Wendy's?
Because you're thirsty, Ralph.
No one is that thirsty! People, they're trying to pull something on us. I don't know what it is, but it's insidious.
I knew there was going to be trouble when Ralph started getting serious about going to the gym, by the way. I knew the rest of us were somehow going to pay for it.
I can't help but be inundated with these commercials that the colossal burger, the super stuff, the quad stacker, the biggie, the mega meat lover. It's insane. I mean, it's one thing to service food that's bad for us. Yes, you have that choice to make. But for them to just keep giving us positive reinforcement, stuff yourself, get a pound of cheese and eat it. It's evil. It's evil. And it must be stopped. You're laughing. They're going to kill you, Kevin.
I'm pretty hungry.
You're the guy that goes to the fast food every day of your life.
And I love it.
And I want to thank Ralph for coming in with the rant today because he told me about some specials I was unaware of. So now I got something to look forward to today.
Psych and Michael and I are just going to laugh at you.
So hungry right now.
We're going to end up bench pressing you.
I don't think a pound of cheese is enough for as hungry as I am right now. I think I need that 2 pounds.
It comes with a side of marinara sauce. So just start dipping.
So freaking hungry right now.
For nothing, Ralph.
Get a pizzone and choke down a pound of cheese.
Tell you, I could eat right now.
You know, I forgot about Hardee's. Hardee's offers the monster thick burger.
Oh my God!
That's what my penis was known
your nickname in college.
That's my penis known in college. Yeah,
2 3-pound Angus beef patties, bacon, American cheese, mayonnaise on a buttered bun.
So hungry.
God they added the buttered bud because I wasn't interested up until that point. It's 7:53. Funny man Patton Oswalt is in the next room, by the way. He'll be joining us after the news. First, though, you got to sit through Ralph and his goddamn showbiz beat.
Oh, how dare you.
I mean, I'm really looking forward to hearing what Ralph has to say about Hollywood. What's going on, Ralph?
First, you call me Ralph Harmon while you're on vacation. Then you purposely exclude me from eating dinner with you Friday night before the singles party. And now you mock my role on the show.
You would not have enjoyed. We went to a place where we all got something called the trough, and I don't think you would have enjoyed it, the meal that we were having.
The feast. Order of the feast.
It was a million calories.
You have to eat it without your hands.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. As you can imagine, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, by far number one, made $77.4 million this weekend alone. If you take a look at when it first debuted Tuesday night, so the past 5 days, it's made $140 million.
Not bad, right?
Very impressive.
Not bad.
It's a record for a non-holiday weekend for emotions.
It's a great movie, too. I loved it. Do you have trouble following it, Kevin?
Not really, no.
Because it's been so long since the last one. I understand there's not any kind of a recap to catch up on what everybody's doing. You pretty much have to remember it, right?
Yeah, and?
Just wondering.
You're saying you and remember in the same sentence, we just find curious.
Mind like a steel trap.
I just picture Kevin like turning to his wife like an hour into the movie going, oh, the kid's a wizard.
Who's the dude in the glasses? What's wrong with his forehead?
For those of you who can't get enough Harry Potter, by the way, the 7th and last Harry Potter book will be out in stores Friday night at midnight. If you drive by a bookstore, you'll likely see a line outside waiting for the doors to open at midnight.
So it's not available Saturday?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, it is available Saturday.
But some of the muggles have to get their Harry Potter before everyone else.
Okay.
By the way, in a recent poll, 1/5 of Harry Potter fans, 20%, said they will skip straight to the last page of the book to find out what happens.
No.
Are you kidding?
1/5 of all Harry Potter fans say they're going to do that.
What's the fun in that?
Then they're going to eat a pizzone. Transformers, number 2 at the box office. Then Ratatouille, a movie which not only is hilarious and hysterical.
People did the voices for that. They were lame.
But it stars our very special guest coming up next, Patton Oswalt.
What?
Yes. And he's brilliant in it, by the way. Live Free or Die Hard is number 4. License to Wed, 1408. Evan Almighty, Knocked Up, Sicko, Ocean's 13, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Lindsay Lohan came out of rehab on Friday. She left Promises Rehab Clinic. Her PR people say now she's transitioning into, and I quote, an intensive outpatient program, which includes daily attendance at AA meetings, outpatient therapy, daily testing, and lesbianism.
That's part of it?
I don't know about that part, but the star has printed Lindsay's secret MySpace messages to her friend DJ Samantha Ronson while Lindsay was in rehab. And it's interesting, to say the least. Yeah. I quote, "Babe, If I don't have you in my life, then I should just go die. I want to marry you and have children with you. I love you. Signed, Lindsay Ronson.
Dude, that's a serious crush right
there.
Some,
that's some lesbian loving right there.
There's something wrong with that child. You just don't say things like that.
If you've seen a photo of Samantha Ronson.
Your eyes will bleed.
You got to ask yourself a question. What's going on there? Yeah. Well, Lindsay may have a new reason to drink as she comes out of rehab.
That's what she's looking for.
Story has just broke in the New York Daily News that she can hardly relax. Apparently, some nude photos of her that were taken by her on-again, off-again boyfriend, Callum Best, were stolen when his computer was hacked.
Sure.
Yay!
While there's no reports on who may have stolen them, they could easily wind up on the internet, as you can imagine. A website called CelebSlam.com claims that it has the nude photographs.
Wow.
And is threatening to publish them.
The editor, what about the butt?
I don't know exactly what the photos are of. Oh, right. The editor on the site claims that he chatted with Lindsay about the photos, and she allegedly told him in an online chat, "All I know is that someone broke into my computer and left a file on my desktop saying he got the pictures Cal took of me naked." So we'll have to wait and see whether they publish them or not, but I'm going to put Celeb Slam on my favorites list on my computer and just keep refreshing that and hope that something comes up.
She's weird and crazy and dumb.
Why do you say that?
Because she's weird and crazy and dumb.
Did this website talk to Lindsay because they're trying to get a payout to not publish him? Is it one of those kinds of deals?
Well, people are speculating. Are they trying to blackmail her or not? Will she cough up a significant amount of money to not publish them? But I don't know.
Will people never learn?
Yeah.
It's true. We've always said, you don't want people to see naked pictures of you. You can't take naked pictures of you.
Almost nobody intends for them to get out. They always do.
Yeah. If these pictures are indeed real and leaked, it wouldn't be the first time, of course, that private photos have surfaced and caused waves for Lindsay. Remember the ones with her and Vanessa Minnillo?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Playing with knives and being all lesbian with each other?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the ones of Lindsay doing blow in that bathroom stall. Remember someone took her camera phone? She should avoid lenses at all times, unless she's working. And lastly, before I get to celebrity birthdays, this story is just great. Patton Oswalt turned me onto this one, so I want to thank him for that. Apparently, Michael Richards, you remember him, don't you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Who played Cosmo Kramer on Seinfeld? He is currently on a spiritual journey in Cambodia.
What?
What?
He says he plans to visit remote temples in Cambodia to see a Hindu monk whose teachings, followers say, are a tool to cleanse, relieve stress, addiction, and negative energy. Followers apparently believe a 29-year-old man in Cambodia is the reincarnation of Buddha. And so he is going to follow this man and try to learn his teachings.
I need to drop down and get my thing together.
Apparently, Michael not only has lost his desire to perform, but here's his quote. "That night, when I was insulted and disrupted, I lost my heart. I've lost my sense of humor. I've retired from that. I'm taking time off to feel myself out, to get to know myself and appreciate other people." So apparently, calling those guys N-words made him lose his sense of humor and his heart. So he's retired from being funny.
I hate to see a guy like that, you know, stop shouting names, really.
By the way, he retired from being funny right after Seinfeld was canceled, by the way. If you ever saw his stand-up. Today's celebrity birthdays. Stuart Copeland, drummer for The Police, is 55 years old today. Michael Flatley, the river dancer, lord of the dance, he is 49 years old today. Phoebe Cates, actress from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, is 44. Corey Feldman from all those movies he made with the other Corey guy. I don't know which one's which.
But I don't either.
I think they have a new reality show now, don't they, the two Coreys?
I don't.
Do they?
No,
yes. They do.
It hasn't
started
yet. A couple of weeks.
Impossible to keep up with the reality shows.
He's 36, as is Ed Kowalczyk from Live. He's also 36. Will Ferrell turns 40 years old today. And Doto. Doto celebrates his birthday today.
What?
We just found out it's Doto's birthday.
Did he call? Did we finally find him?
No, apparently Dave the King of Mexico, DNN, Dave News Network, came up with the fact that it's Doto's birthday. Apparently he gleaned it off of MySpace. That's how we found out.
If we had any chance of getting him on the phone, we would, but...
Why doesn't he want to talk to us anymore?
Retarded! Murderer!
Retarded! He's a retarded murderer. That's right. Happy birthday, Doto. You retarded murderer. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of Mount Rushmore, Patton Oswalt joining us in the studio. His new CD in stores now called Werewolves and Lollipops. And, of course, the voice of Ratatouille. You've probably played South Dakota. You've played everywhere in your career, right?
You know what? I have not played the Dakotas yet.
You saving that for the
not
end?
Yet.
Is that on purpose?
Yeah, when you see me booked in South Dakota, I'm going to be doing a Leaving Las Vegas thing.
That's it, right?
Only in South Dakota and with diet pills, not alcohol.
Are you still, now that you're big and famous and popular and people love you, and you were able to get a woman, are you still on the road as much as you have been, or has that slowed down a little bit?
Well, it's slowed down now that the CD is out. I want to take some time to, like, write new material. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, like, repeat stuff that's on the album. So I'm doing a few shows around town. I'm going to do it like a CD release party at the UCB Theater tomorrow night, the Comedy Death Ray. But then I'm going to take, like, pretty much the month of August and September off and just not go anywhere. And then in October we'll do a big Comedians of Comedy tour starting in L.A. and then up and down the West Coast. And then
can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
PlayStation 2, Xbox 360. That's it.
That's all he's going to
do. And then you're going to look back after 2 months and go, wow, I didn't write anything. Because that's what I would do.
And then he's going to cram it in a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, you ever like been sitting Indian style for 8 hours playing Manhunt and then your legs fall asleep? It's crazy, right? You ever have that happen?
You know, you bring up a good point, Pat, and I never thought about this, but if you commit to putting out a comedy album,
right,
and all of your fans run out and buy it, you've just shot your act in the foot.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the second time I've shot my act in the foot. You know, yeah, once you put that material out, I consider it burned. Like, I don't want to keep repeating.
You don't do it again.
Unlike a band puts an album out, and people want to hear the song.
Yeah, they are upset if they don't.
Yeah, and a comedian, it's the exact opposite. It's like, I just spent $15 on your album and now to see you, and you're repeating your stuff, so... You need time off.
Your host.
I wish I was as prolific as like Louis C.K., but I'm getting there. Just it's not,
but
not
you're funnier. You're funnier though. By
some
the
people
way.
Come
oh,
up.
I so disagree.
Some
and I'm not saying that out of false modesty. I'm funnier than a lot of people. I'm not funnier than Louis C.K.
Really?
Oh my God! Not even close.
Some people crank out new material, make it up off the top of their head, and some people it's a long, arduous. Like you got to craft it. Which one are you?
I'm in the middle. Whereas. I wish I had the discipline to sit down and write. I do all my writing on stage. So I go on stage with just vague kind of stuff and work it out on stage. So what I'm going to try to do these next 2 months is see if I can actually sit down and write stuff. You know, because all my writing happens in front of people.
Okay.
I go up. I have some.
So you go up and you have a piece of paper that says airplanes, and you go, hey, how about that, everyone?
Sometimes I don't even have the word airplanes written out, just air and then P. That's as far as I get.
And you're playing Wheel of Fortune up there.
I really am.
The CD is called Werewolves and Lollipops. As I say, it's in stores and available for download. You wanted to call it Penis at one point. That was the title you had in mind, right?
I wanted to call it My Penis.
My people.
Wow,
okay.
You did. You're like James Lipton. You did some research.
Oh, yeah.
Then you recorded the comedy album.
What was it like working? I wanted to call it either My Penis or I wanted to call it Yelling. And said, I don't know about that. So I
Wait a minute. Aren't you in charge of what you call it? I mean, huh?
Yeah, except that we went back and forth on titles, and then finally, out of desperation, I said Werewolves and Lollipops, which was a place filler, basically, or, you know, placeholder. And they said, oh, we like that. So that,
really?
Although, doesn't now that I think about it, doesn't Werewolves and Lollipops, doesn't that sound like one of those bad late 60s psychedelic bands trying to, like, divide people? See, our philosophy is that, like, people are either werewolves or they're lollipops. Like, people stick to you because you're sweet or you change and rip their throats out, man.
That's what's
happening in Cambodia right now. Okay, just play your stupid song. I don't want to hear it. You know?
Now, I certainly want to ask you to do the bit, but I have to ask about one of the titles on the album, and that is, At Midnight, I Will Kill George Lucas with a Shovel.
Oh, God.
What's the problem there, Patton?
Okay, has nothing to do with my hatred of George Lucas. It has to do with my love of George Lucas. I love him,
right.
And he's gone wrong. He's gone astray, mm-hmm. And he needs to be brought back. He's this guy, like, Star Wars is a perfect movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
right.
Then I just want to go back in time, and I want to stop him from making the prequels and ruining it.
All three of them.
Right, all three prequels, because basically the prequels are just... You know, hey, do you like Darth Vader? Oh, dude, are you kidding? He's awesome with the helmet and the sword. Yeah, well, in the first movie, you get to see him as a little kid. is he like killing people with his mind, like a Damien? No, no, he's like this little kid, then he gets taken away from his mom, and he's really sad.
That does sound like a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
you know.
Didn't he created it in mind that he was beginning with number four, didn't he, from the very beginning?
No, when it first came out, it was just Star Wars. Then it didn't have chapter four. Then when they re-released it, it became A New Hope. And then it became... I'm sorry, I'm such a nerd for these
You're
things.
You're a huge nerd to
know
that.
Yeah, I love those movies. And then, so then he goes, he could have just gone back 1,000 years and just dealt with all new characters. And it would have been totally cool. I don't care about Darth Vader as a little kid. Yeah. And like, the third one should have ended with like, hey, who's this baby? Oh, his name is Darth something. And then you go, and then boom.
And that's
there
it.
There we go.
I like that.
Wow. Well, have you given him your thoughts on that, or are you just on stage yelling?
I'm on stage yelling.
Yeah.
Face it, he's worth $5 billion. So me being angry at him, it's like I'm basically like a homeless guy with his ass hanging out in front of some guy's gated community just screaming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
your lawnmower's too loud. Okay. Let's take that guy's notes.
Patton, do you miss your TV show? You were on, what, King of Queens for 8, 9 years, something like that?
I miss how much fun it was to be on the show, but I'm glad that it ended the way that it did, because we were on for 9 years.
That's an eternity in television.
Yeah, well, I can only be so sad. We really had a great run of luck, and the creator, Michael Whitehorn, got to end the show on his terms. You know, he got to end it the way he wanted to, rather than us just fizzling out and then being canceled mid-season.
Right.
You know, where it's like, hey, how did King of Queens wrap up? Oh, Doug wanted a sandwich. Oh, wow. That's kind of cool.
That's
kind of a Sopranos ending there, I guess.
Well, I wanted to apologize. I meant to tune in. I just never got around to it. It was nine years. You'd think
years.
I would have caught it. Yeah, I never got to it.
I got to say, for what it is, it was a really, really fun show to work on. And because the writers were these old sitcom pros that mm-hmm. really knew like every way to write, they were able to smuggle in a lot of like really weird dark stuff into this very sunny 8 p.m. sitcom. It's all there. They just hid it in there for their own amusement.
Was anybody afraid during all of those years that Kevin James was just going to eat himself right into the ground?
See, people think that he's fat. He's like a bodybuilder, but then he just has that – there's a layer of fat over all this crazy – he's like the Kingpin from the Daredevil comics. He looks fat, but it's like sumo muscle.
No. I'm going to use that
really,
next time someone calls me fat.
I'm serious. He's like a huge muscular guy.
No.
Were you
yes.
Really? Listen, I've never been on the show, but I'm telling you no. Based on nothing.
He's the Kingpin from Daredevil.
All right.
Now, were you surprised when the show ended that then he decided to come out of the closet and marry Adam Sandler? I mean, is that the type of thing he didn't think his fans would be able to accept if he did it while the show was still on?
I think that he had built up a lot of rage over the fact that people saw him as this very, you know, that Sony forced him to marry that really hot Asian model.
Sure.
Forced him to have a baby. It was a nightmare. It's torment every day.
He's living a lie.
He's living a lie, and he's been screaming inside for so long, and now to be, and Adam Sandler's been also that, you know, for years now. I mean, ever since all his movies, I mean, the gay subtext is there.
Oh, sure, certainly.
I didn't think about that.
So this is both of them, you know, this is like the planets lining up, and they're really,
they make a good couple.
Statement, you know?
Yeah, I'm happy for it. It's a good deal.
All right, Patton Oswalt and friends, you're doing stand-up 1 week from tonight, right? That's the information I have.
Well, I'm doing stand-up tomorrow night at the UCB Theater, and then next week on the 20th. Oh, no, yeah. No, what am I saying?
Oh, I love this.
This is how disconnected I am from my career. I'm at the UCB Theater tomorrow night. I'm at the Largo next Monday. And then I'm at Amoeba Records Wednesday the 25th.
You don't know.
And you're in Ratatouille.
Oh, yeah. And I'm in Ratatouille.
Yeah. All right. We need to take a break.
Straighten this out.
We're going to have Patton drop down and get his thing together. And then we're going to come right back on the world famous.
Cleaned up G-rated filth is way more creepy and disturbing than just flat out filth to me. I mean, what's worse? I want to shove my or I'm going to fill your hoo-ha with goof juice. That is what you say to a girl that you're keeping in a pit in the bottom of your basement as you're lowering stuff in a basket and just
That's Bean's life right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that. I've actually done that. Thank you, Patton, for noticing.
The CD and download is called Werewolves and Lollipops from our guest, Patton Oswalt. So you're in what's going to eventually end up being one of the 25 biggest movies of all time, huh, Patton?
Yeah, it looks that way. As the Disney publicist told me, it's got legs.
How did you get hooked up with Ratatouille?
I wish I had a better story here. Brad Bird heard my first CD, Feeling Kind of Patton, still available on iTunes, and said, "That's the rat. That's the guy
no
I want."
Kidding.
And then he played it for the Disney people, and they went, "Really? Because he's talking about... No, don't listen to what he's talking about. Just listen to his voice." And they said,
so
okay.
So they just called you out of the blue and said, "We like your voice. We want you to come in and try and..."
He called my manager, and my manager called me and said, "Brad Bird wants you to be in the next Pixar movie." And I thought, this is the most expensive episode of Punk'd they've ever done. So,
and you had to be thinking, and I'm sure Brad, you know, God bless Brad, he's a genius, and you know, look at what he's done.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, people listen to him; he knows what he's talking about. But there's so much in the world of animation, and get the big names, get the Eddie Murphys and the Robin Williams and the Justin Timberlakes and people like that. It was probably a little bit of a sell, and he had to stick to his guns to say, no, this is the right guy to get you to do it.
Well, Brad Bird has a reputation, and I've known this because during the 2 years that I was doing the movie, I met a couple of other studio people from different studios. It's like, oh yeah, he's been fired from almost every studio in Los Angeles because he will not. There's zero compromise.
Oh really?
He goes, I have this idea. I will not back down. And then people go, well, we're not going to do it. And he goes, fine. He'll just walk away. No harm, no foul. I'll just go do it somewhere else. Although now, luckily, he's at the point where people go, yeah, just do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Obviously, I know what
you're
doing.
Arguing with him, right?
Yeah, yeah. They've kind of stopped bugging him, so I really lucked out.
Were there any lines or scenes that you had the most trouble with doing your voice for Ratatouille?
There's a scene where I think I did almost 30 takes on the scene where I'm – on after I've gone down into the sewer and I'm saying, I've just lost my family and friends, probably forever. And he